Well, it's good to be with you again this morning. I'll do my best not to be controversial. but we had a good time yesterday. I was thinking, a few years ago I might have said we had a good time yesterday with all the old cronies, but I can't say that anymore because I'm fast joining those of an older nature and a more mature nature. But we did have a really good time, and we learned a new dance as well, and I did try it out. And the new dance, who can remember what it meant? It went, was it? What is it? I'm in the mood. So I went to bed last night going, so Fiona went downstairs to watch the telly, and I went to sleep. Yeah, but there we go. I've spoken on something similar, what I'm going to speak on this morning, on dealing with sin. And the reason I wanted to speak about that again today is because I know how much I struggle with sin. I'm not saying I do it, I'm saying I struggle with it. But sometimes I do, obviously, sin. But when sin is knocking on my door, I have a choice. Where those that don't know the Lord don't get that same privilege, that same choice. Whereas as a believer, thank God, and having Jesus Christ, and if you've got Jesus Christ, you can say no. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires. It's like it's got a life of its own, isn't it? It desires to have you. And it's an incredible thing, this sin, once it gets in there. I mean, the Bible says that the battle is for the mind. Once sin has your mind, it has you. And the fall can be mighty. Now, I don't want to be critical of anybody because I'm definitely not, but what I do know is that when I listen to many speakers who were at the front, they're sorted. And I end up thinking, goodness me, do you know what? I wish I was like them. They got it. They don't sin. Somehow they've made it. And the first then you hear about their sin is when they've fallen in a big way. The best speakers that the world have known, some have fallen in that way. So it's at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now, have you seen that? There's another picture of a door with Jesus knocking on the door. And I always think like there's something missing from there, because when I open that door, sin's there as well. Both want to come in. And it's my choice who I let in. Hopefully I keep sin outside of that door. I was walking across Ely Bridge yesterday, and I was amazed how much that water had come up. It was literally just that much from the top. And there was a cyclist going through. The river was overflowed. And as I looked over there, there was a couple of men that were standing outside the house. The woman was just gone inside. And you can see how close that water is to their house. What do you think they're thinking? I bet they're thinking along the lines of, please God, we've seen it all over the TV, haven't we? Please God, don't let that water, because once that water is in my house, it's going to take months to sort it out. They've probably already moved their furniture upstairs, getting themselves ready in preparation for what could take place. When sin is at my door, and I know when it is, believe you me, particularly when there's a beautiful woman walking up the road and I'm walking the opposite way, I do this. You must think I'm weird, but I don't. I mean, I want to look, don't get me wrong. I'm dying to look, but I can't look because once it's in there, I start doing things in my mind that I shouldn't. I have to turn away. Whose door? Who am I going to open the door to? We have to turn away from sin. The reason I'm saying this is that I'm fully aware within my own life is that what goes in stays in. And often, it might not necessarily be sin. We are byproducts of our upbringing. You are who you are because of the way that you were raised. And that means that you might be very well so comfortable in your life. That could well be a sin. You might just be saying, thank you, God, that I have a wonderful, comfortable, happy life with my family, and I have my job, and I speak on a Sunday morning, and I'm fantastic. What, Lord, thank you so much. Well, it might all look good, but that is not always good. I remember once I was in Graham's Builders Merchants. I worked there for 7 years. I hated it when I started, loved it when I finished. And I was holding an 8x4 sheet of WBP exterior ply. It slid out of my hand full speed and landed on one toe. Goodness! It hurt! I started bouncing around in that aisle like there was no tomorrow. And I couldn't walk. It caused a lot of the swelling. I could feel it going, poof, 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 poof. So I took my shoe and sock off, and I thought, goodness, look at the state of that. It wasn't bleeding or anything. It was just a pressure on that toe. So I went to my boss, and I said, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. He thought I was just trying to get some time off. I said, no, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. Look at this, a right mess. So I went to the hospital. I'm going to stick it here, a chair there just for... And I went to the hospital, and I waited, and the nurse, and I was literally, I could hardly press the accelerator down on my car. So then they called me in, and I limped in, and then she had this plastic thing, and she said, would you mind sticking your foot on my knee? So I went, and she got a lighter and started heating up a silver paper clip. So you could see what's going on. I said, do you mind me asking what you're going to do with that? She said, I'm going to heat it up, red hot, and stick it through your toenail. I went, you're not. She said, no, that's the way that we do it. I said, well, is there another way that you can do it? She said, no, that's... I said, well, she must know what she's doing. So I stuck it back up, and she heated it up, and she went, but I tell you what, once she had to do it twice because I had thick toenails. Same as sin sometimes. Some sin is easier for God to reach than other sins. But when she finally got it through, that wasn't a good part, but it was. The pressure was off, and I was thinking, oh, goodness me. And I could more or less walk. That's often what sin is like in our lives, because sin weighs us down. Sin keeps us from our walk going forward in the Lord. It hinders our walk. God cannot be a part of our sin. God is a holy God. And anything in our lives, which has the minute bit of sin, don't even think that God can look at it, because he can't. Now I might get a bit emotional telling this bit. It's Chloe, Chloe's in here. Let me get my tissue on the thing ready, just in case. I did ask permission for this, and Chloe said, say what you like, Clive. So... So, going back when Chloe was 7, and she's got her sisters, aged 3 and 4, Caitlin and Courtney. I didn't really know them at the time, but my niece, I had a phone call from my niece, and she said, Clive, social services are coming to take my kids. Will you have them? I said, oh, Don. Social services are not going to let me have your kids. I said, look at my history, my past. They're just not going to do it. So she said, I've asked everyone else in the family, and they can't. I said, Don, they're not going to let me have them. Sorry. But I put the phone down, and I said to Fiona, we can't just watch 3 kids go into care. Why don't I phone Donna up and say, if social services say that they're allowed to come, then we'll let them stay in the house. Well, within the hour, they were there. And they were only staying 2 weeks. The 3 stayed 2 years, and I'm still trying to get rid of Chloe. But this is what's interesting, because we're talking about what goes in stays in. When Chloe came to us, she had 56 bruises on her. Look what the Lord has done. That's what we're focusing on. Look what the Lord has done. A couple of weeks ago, I'd never understood why she decided not to see her mum. But the two children in London are experiencing problems, flashbacks. And Chloe went down to try and help them out. But before she went, she said, I want to meet with my mother. Now, I didn't think that was a good idea, being honest, but she felt that she could get some answers. And I phoned her mum up, and she came around the house, and Chloe had a chat. And I noticed that Chloe wasn't saying much after about 5 minutes, because there was no admission and no sorry, if you like, from her mum. But when I looked at Chloe and the mum, again, I'm thinking, my goodness, look what God has done. I'm not saying there's no issues in there, because she's driven me up the wall since the day that she's been there. I mean, I went from having Fiona, Abby, and Alicia to having Fiona, Abby, Alicia, Chloe, Alicia, and Courtney, and a female dog. I mean, and somehow I had to find some solace, so I bought a bit of land so I could escape. But when I reflect and look at it all, I think, God, the ruin that sin has brought to people's lives. But look what you have done. Look what you have changed in the whole of my family. Look what you've changed in me. My background is three disabled people, an able-bodied as my elder sister, but she left home early, drink drugs and prison. I mean, a seven-year-old living in a family like that with minds of seven-year-olds. What hope is there for a kid like that? Well, I would like to say, and I'd like to say an amen to this one. Look what God has done. Look what he does to a broken life. Look what he can change. Man can't do it. Because God gets on the inside and deals with all of that. And he's dealing with Chloe, me, and you. Do not think that you have reached the mark because you have a good life. Because sin is at the door. And it desires you. It wants you. Because it'll take you away from Christ. It'll take you away from God. We have to be reliant on Christ. What goes in, stays in. Romans 6:8 says, if we die with Christ, we live with Christ. Goodness me, how I desire sometimes to do the wrong. It looks so tasty. Where is it? Romans? No, Matthew 5, the two doors. And I look down, the two gateways, sorry. And I look down and it all looks wonderful. What I could do with all of that, it's all me. It's going to give me everything I need. But it doesn't. It causes mayhem in your life. It weighs you down and keeps you where you are. I was in Usk prison a couple of Sundays ago. And often the men come and tell me what they've done. And I never judge what they've done. Some are very sorry for what they've done, and some just can't face. They can't even look at what they've done. So we try and bring them along because it is that bad, some of the stuff that they've done. One of the things that I did, which took me many years to come to terms with, and it was after I'd become a Christian, and I know most of you will know this story anyway, was that when I broke into a house and gripped hold of an 81-year-old man and tied him up and stuck pillowcases over his head and threatened him, to come to terms with what I did something so cruel, thoughtless, and the guy dying a couple of weeks later. I know there are people probably still in pain today because of what I did. But I can't carry that. I'm not being selfish, but what? It kept me down. Not just kept me down, it was taking me back. And this is what I say to these fellas. I say, fellas, if you don't come to terms with your sin, if you don't face those wrongs in your life, if you don't stop hiding them, they will bring you back here once you get out. You've got to face them now, deal with them. And once you deal with them, you can move on in the Lord. But what I can tell you is that Jesus loves you and he died on the cross for you. There isn't a sin that is that bad. Most of you would have heard this, but let me just read this. A traveler fell into a deep pit and couldn't get out. Several persons came along and saw him struggling in the pit. The sensitive person said, "Oh, I feel for you down there." The reflected person said, "It's logical that someone would fall into the pit." The aesthetic person said, "Oh, I can give you ideas on how to decorate your pit." The judgmental person said, "Only bad people fall into the pit." The analytical person said, "Help me measure the depth of your pit." The curious person said, "Tell me, how did you fall into that pit?" The perfectionist said, "I believe you deserve your pit." The evaluator said, "Tell me, are you paying taxes on this pit?" The self-pitying person said, "You should have seen my pit." The specialist in meditation said, "Just relax and don't even think about the pit." The optimist said, "Cheer up, things could be worse." The pessimist said, "Be prepared, things will get worse." Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. But I like to go one deeper than that, one further. Is that Jesus not only lifts us out of the pit, he gets down into the pit with us. That is what is so amazing. Where people can't go because sometimes of what we've done, Jesus has, he's God. He can come down into the pit with us. And he says, "Look, this is how you get out. Read my word. This will show you how to get out of the pit. It tells you, live by the word." Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But since we have been in Christ, it's changed. There might be a huge struggle going on with sin, but now we are seated in heavenly places because of Christ. He sits us there. I don't feel I got a right to it. But he says to me, "No, I'm giving you the right. After all I've done, after the way I've lived my life, after the times that I've refused to obey you and gone my own way and still do. Clive, you're my son. You're my son, my daughter. And I choose to give it to you because you belong to me. You're mine." But what I'm asking you to do is, when sin is knocking on the door, is to choose me. Because now I'm giving you the power to repent. And the best way I've heard repent illustrated to me was that the Greek army used, you know, you get all of the soldiers walking down and you have the sergeant at the side and he shouts to the Greek army, "Repent!" And they'd all turn. Now this is where I think as Christians we get it wrong, because often we turn and that's about it. We look at it and we think we've done it. No, we haven't. Repent is a threefold thing. It means to stop, to turn, and to walk the other way. That's why we see so many that ask Jesus into their hearts. They look like they've repented. Well, they turned and looked and thought, no, that's too much for me. And they turn and they go back the other way. Salvation is free, but it costs you your life. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I know, and I hope you know, that without Christ, your sin is going to count against you when you leave this life. It amazes me that we can book our holidays for next year. Why do we do that? Well, it's because it makes me feel good now. Going on holiday next year. Actually, with the news that Alicia and Chloe were getting married next year, we had to cancel our holiday to Florida this year. That did not make me feel good. I know. Yeah, I'm glad you had a pip laugh. Goodness. So now, at the moment, we're not going anywhere. But there we are. That's fine. It was well worth it. Actually, that's an interesting thing, because when me and Fiona spoke about that, we said we're just happy that they're both choosing the right thing to do. Holiday is second. I mean, it doesn't even come into the equation, does it? So we were very pleased that they both chose to do that. Again, look what God has done. It's amazing. You look back and you think, my goodness, I don't deserve this. But he does it anyway. 1 Peter 4, 1 and verse 1 and 2. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had, and be ready to suffer too. But if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. I met yesterday in Morrison's in Newport with the other chaplains, about eight of us, just to have a chat and meet. But one of them, Rob Lee, brought somebody from Ghana with him. And he happened to sit next to me. And we started chatting. He was a very quiet man, very humble. And I started telling him, what I do about carrying the cross and things like that. I got on the internet and showed him. But he picked on him. He said, oh, look, he's ex-convict drugs. I said, yeah, unfortunately. He went, me too. It turns out he is an ex-child soldier in Ghana. He said, from the age of 12 to 16, he said, lots there. Lots. But one of my friends was just about to be beheaded. His head was on the rock and he was praying for the executioner. He said, the hatchet went down, missed, and went into his shoulder. Twice. The executioner was converted. And the man lived, and he just got his scars. Goodness me, my days. I said, I don't experience nothing like that. I think I'm a good Christian in this life. You know, some of these people, what they're going through for the name of the Lord. And while he was going to be executed, was praying for the executioner. Oh, my, it's incredible. It's a good thing God above has never gone on strike, because he wasn't treated well or for things he didn't like. If he ever just sat down and said, that's it, I'm through. I've had enough of those on earth, so this is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun, cut off your heat supply, and to the moon, no more light, and run the oceans dry. Then just to make it really tough and put the pressure on, turn off the air and oxygen till every breath has gone. Do you know he would be justified if fairness was the game? For no one has been more abused or treated with disdain. Men say they want a better deal, and so on strike they go. And what a deal we've given God, to whom everything we owe. We don't know whom we hurt or harm to gain the things we like, but what a mess we'd all be in if God should go on strike. I got one more thing to say, but I thought it'd be nice for us to just sing a song. And it's a secular song, and I know some of you went, but I like this song. I'll do my best to lead it. I haven't rehearsed it. I haven't practiced it. You will all know the song. And if you don't sing, those of you that I see not singing, you're going to come to the front and sing. So my suggestion is, sing. Okay, are we going to have it? Is it going to work?
When I am down and my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and waiting in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raised me up so I can stand on mountains. You raised me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulder. You raised me up to more than I can be.
Father, we thank you this morning for your love toward us, for your care, for giving your life, for holding us up, Lord, for raising us up. We worship you and praise you that even when we turn against you, you chose us to be your children. We bless you with our hearts, Lord, and thank you for coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's carry on singing it then.
You raised me up so I can stand on mountains. You raised me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am shoulder. You raised me up to more than I can be.
You raised me
up so I can stand on mountains.
I'll never forget Alice's face when we were in a small group of adults and we were getting acquainted by going around the room, each of us telling something about our childhood. One older lady had had many good disappointments and seemed bitter about her past. Then it was Alice's turn. She spoke to us hesitantly. When I was a little girl, I was put in an orphanage. I was not pretty at all. And no one wanted me, but I can recall longing to be adopted and loved by a family as far back as I can remember. I thought about it day and night, but everything I did seemed to go wrong. I tried too hard to please everybody who came to look me over, and all I did was drive people away. Then one day, the head of the orphanage told me a family was coming to take me home with them. I was so excited, I jumped up and down, and I cried. The matron reminded me that I was on trial, and that it might not be a permanent arrangement, but I just knew that it would be. So I went with this family and started school in their town, a very happy little girl, and life began to open up for me. Then one day, a few months later, I skipped home from school and ran in through the front door of the big old house we lived in. No one was home. But there in the middle of the front hall was my battered old suitcase. With my little coat thrown over it. As I stood there, it suddenly dawned on me what it meant. They didn't want me, and I hadn't even suspected. Alice stopped speaking, but we didn't notice. We were each standing in the front hall looking at that battered suitcase and trying not to cry. Then Alice cleared her throat and said almost matter-of-factly, "That happened to me 7 times before I was 13 years old." I looked at this tall, grey-haired woman sitting across the room and wept. I just met Alice, but I found myself loving her and feeling a great compassion for her. She looked up surprised and touched at the way we were responding to her story. But she held up her head and shook it, her head slightly. "Don't feel sorry for me," she said with a genuinely happy smile. "I needed my past, you see. It brought me to God. Look what God has done." All God wants us to do is to choose Him. Sin is a powerful thing. It desires you. It's at your door. It's waiting. It's got a mind of its own. And it'll take you to places you never, ever thought you would go. What Jesus says is, "Choose me. When you open the door, let me in, and I'll give you strength to turn from sin." That's the message of the day. Choose God. Don't choose those things that you think are the desires of your heart where sin is concerned, because it'll drag you down. And believe you me, the journey back is a lot harder than what it was to get down. You can be down in an hour, in a minute, but it could take you a lifetime to find your way out again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And Lord, even saying that word, "We glorify your name," Lord, just doesn't seem to give enough from what our heart thanks towards you is. Lord, you've lifted, hopefully, all of us here out of that pit. You got down into the pit with us at some point and walked away with us and shown us the way out, and all we had to do was choose you. Give us the strength, we pray, Lord, as we walk this life, as sin crouches at our door, just looking for a way in, whether by word, by thought, or by deed. Lord, help us turn to you. Help us get our strength from you. Teach us, Lord. Let us not think, Lord, that we've made it. Because we are aware, Lord, that sin is waiting to grab us. Let us leave today, Lord, knowing we have the victory in you and victory in Christ. That's the only way that we can conquer sin. We thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.